But we're talking about friendship. And today I can stand and I can tell you that God is for friends. He wants to give us friends. He wants us to have real friends. I've seen it in so many people's lives. As soon as they get a real friend that is willing to listen and is willing to walk a road with them, they change. I've seen it so many times. On our own, we know we can go on our own road and we can try our own things, but as soon as there's a friend that is there for us, that we know we can talk to and they're going to sit and listen to all my long stories, things change in me. As soon as I know there's someone that loves me, things change in me. And I'm going to tell you today, if you're here and you're like, "Yo, Lord, I really want a friend like that," then I want you to ask God for a friend. He's faithful. I can testify of it. He's faithful to give us friends. I have a few friends in Cape Town. I emailed them. I said to them, "What would you say? What is the thing about friendship that stands out for you?" And it was so cool because the five of them got together and they made me a video. They even start the video with, "Hello, Shofar Durban." You know, they especially made it for you guys just to carry something over to you. Unfortunately, it's not going to play, but one of my friends did send me a voice note. And I wonder, Stephen, are we going to try it and see if that's going to work? This is my dear friend. And you can hear that she says she's been going through a tough year, but because of friendships in her life, it's like she can stand. Because they come alongside you and they pray with you. One testimony, my family was going through a very tough time. And it was so incredible that my friend prayed with me every morning for my family. Guys, if I did it alone, I don't know if I'll be able to keep on all the time. And she came and she prayed with me. She got up early every morning and prayed with me. Friends change our lives. And especially if it's God-centered, as she said now. You know, because we can be friends, and I can expect things from you, and you can expect things from me, but if God is not the center of this friendship, it's not going to work. It starts to be dependent and all that kind of things. When I started my friendship and we started praying together, things happen. And things happen in our friendship. Where I want to start this morning, and I felt God specifically wanting me to start this morning, is to say that God loves us. I don't know where you're at this morning. I don't know how you're feeling. I don't know how I've heard you've experienced. I don't know, you know, what your past and how things look in your life. But I felt God saying this morning, He loves us. He loves me. You know, sometimes I want to just go and, you know, see the kingdom come. And I forget that God loves me. And I realize if I don't know that God loves me, I go into performance. If I don't realize that God loves me, it's pretty difficult to love other people. Because what am I loving them? From where am I loving them? But if I first receive the love from God, it's much more easier for me to love other people. And I've experienced it in the last while. But let's read it. If you think I'm lying, I'm not. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only son that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life." I was thinking of this the other night. God, who is king of the universe, guys, he can do anything. One of the pastors this weekend said, he can squash us, the whole world now. But he chose to send his son, who is also God. Remember, Jesus is also God. So our God hang on a cross. Hang on a cross. Humiliated. In front of the whole world. For me. Who of us would want to be ashamed or be humiliated for someone else? Not a lot, you know. And then I'm not even speaking of the pain and the things that God, Jesus went through. But imagine, God of the universe was humiliated because he loves us so much, because he wants us to come to him. That is incredible. I think God's going to every time show us a little bit more about his love. He wants to. Guys, because if we don't understand God's love, it's difficult to walk in this life. Because why are we doing the things that we're doing? Why am I even a Christian? God loves you. And he wants you to know that. Let's go to the next scripture. Romans 8. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword, as it is written, for your sake we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Why are we conquerors? Because he loved us. Not because of anything else. Not because of what we've done. Not because of where we're at. But because he loved us. The Lord wants us to know that. For I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of Christ, love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. I'm just trying to get a point over here. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. Nothing. Nothing. Next scripture, John 15, verse 9. As the Father has loved me, it's Jesus speaking here to his disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. As the Father God has loved Jesus, his Son, do you think that's an incredible love there? That's a magnificent love there. I don't think you get a stronger love like that than that. Jesus says, so have I loved you. I'm like, whoa, I don't get this. I don't get the love of the Father. The other day, someone said, if we still worry about things, it means that we don't understand God's love for us. I was like, uh-oh. I'm in trouble because many times I still worry about stuff instead of knowing I've got a Father who is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords who love me. Lord, I want to know that love. I want to know that love. And I want to tell you today that God wants us to know that love. Not, and more than that, he wants us to abide in that love. What does that mean? To stay in that love. To find out everything in that love. I see it like that verse that says that, you know, I'm in the shadow of his wing. I'm safe in him. I'm loved. I'm protected. I know who I am. I know I have a Father who loves me, who cares for me, who will do anything for me. This weekend, they talked a lot about children, by the way, and how to raise children. And they said that we have to discipline our children. Why? Because if the Father disciplines us, we must know, you know, it's not a bad thing. It's because he loves us, because he wants us to walk in the right way. So if my dad says to me, no, you cannot do that, you know, I'm not going to argue with him. I'm just going to do it. So when God says, no, you're not going to do that, I'm going to see it out of a place of love, not out of a place I want to hurt you. God in everything that he does is good to us. And it's out of love. Okay? So we must know, Lord, I want to abide in that love. Why now I'm safe. That when you say do this, I'm going to do it. Not because I'm thinking, no, Lord, 10 reasons in my head why I shouldn't do it. But because I know God loves me. So his way is perfect. I'm going to go with this. I'm going to do this. Isn't it? We're going to get there. God wants us to ask him, Lord, reveal your love for me more and more. Reveal it to me more and more. Because, Lord, I want to abide in that love. I want to know that love. If you're here this morning and you don't know that love, God wants to show it to you. And we should ask him for it. Not that he doesn't love us, but ask him that we may understand that love. It's not like it's something that you can understand with our heads. It's a revelation in our hearts that God wants to show us. Okay, good. Are you all with me? Okay, let's go to John 15, verse 12. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. So now Jesus takes it a step further. We know that he loves us with everything. Now he says, now you go and love others as I have loved you. That to me is so beautiful. He's not saying try and work it out yourself. He's not saying, you know, just go and do to others whatever you feel. He says, he demonstrates to us, he says, go and love to others as I have loved you. And then the next verse, he says, greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. Jesus is speaking about himself. He's saying, I lay down my life for my friends. He's talking to his disciples around him, but he's also talking to all of us. He says, I lay down my life for the friends. Greater love. There's no greater love than this, than to lay down my life for my friends. And when I look at this, then I'm like, Father, I think this is Jesus's definition of friendship. It's quite hectic, isn't it? Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. This is not what we think about when we think about friendship. Or how we should do friendship. Or what is a friend. But Jesus said, I lay down my life for you. This is the definition of friendship. And then John, in 1 John, John says the same thing. He says, by this we know love, that he laid down his life for us. Same thing. Jesus laid down his life for us. And we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers. Wow. Have we read that before? So Jesus says, greater love is there not than to lay down your life for your friends. John is saying, there's nothing greater. Jesus laid down his life for us, and we should do the same for our brothers. Then John goes on in verse 18, and he says, little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and in truth. Now today, if you're sitting here and like, Lord, I don't even have friends. How do you want me to lay down my life for friends? God is calling us, and he's teaching us how to be friends. You know, when I was little, I always thought people must just like me. I must just have friends, you know. So when I pray for friends, I want people just to like me and to be my friend. But I never realized that I can be a friend to someone. And especially if I know Jesus and I know who he is, then I want to be a friend to someone. You know, I want to lay down my life for someone. And I had to learn that the hard way. When someone kept on rejecting me, I had to be like, Lord, what must I do? And the Lord just said, you love as I have loved you. Every day, not every day, but many times I reject God in whatever way, don't we? We were just like, no, not, I'm not going to listen to God now, or who is God, or you know, stuff like that. And God says, many times you have rejected me, and I still love you. Why can't you do that to your friend? You know what? We're on this earth to love. We're on this earth to see God's kingdom come. I was overwhelmed by it this weekend that Jesus is coming back. Do you know that? Jesus is coming back, and he's coming back for a pure and spotless bride, and the bride is us, the church. And you know what? There is so many people out there that is not part of the church. You know, can you see these empty seats? There's so many people that don't know Jesus. And our aim on this earth is to see that people get to know Jesus. And when I think about this, where God says, lay down your life for your brothers, he's saying, it's not just about you. Marichen, it's not just about you. It's not just about you having friends. I gave you friendships so that the world will see that Jesus lives. That he is good. That he is magnificent. Lord said to me the other day, in the Lord's Prayer, it says, let your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Do we understand that? I've been praying that for years. I'm like, Lord, what does that mean? On earth as it is in heaven? Do we know how heaven looks like? Have you read Revelation 4? The throne room of God where angels are singing, where there's like, you know, a rainbow and there's like crazy stuff happening. And they say, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. And then God says, my kingdom will come on earth as it is in heaven. He says to me, Marichan, you're thinking too small. You're limiting me so much. I can do great things. I can do great things, and I want to. And when I was preparing for this friendship thing, Lord says to me, why are you thinking just small? Why are you just thinking, yes, friendships are there for each other. And my life has changed because someone listens to me. And they listen to what I have to say. And they pray with me, definitely. But you know what changed my life? Is when I see God's kingdom coming in a friendship. I'm going to tell you, God has friendships for us like this in this church. And not just in this church, people are going to come in and they're going to be like, whoa, that's a different kind of friendship. It's not just about you. It's about God's kingdom coming. As I say, I'm running ahead of myself. Now there's a few things that I want to highlight here. Jesus was the perfect example of laying down his life. But more than that, by giving and serving. Let's turn to John 13, verse 1 to 5. Now, before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that this hour had come to depart out of this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. During supper, when the devil had already put it into his heart, into the heart of Judas, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going back to God, rose from supper. He lay aside his outer garments and, taking a towel, tied it around his waist. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that was wrapped around him. Now this is a beautiful, beautiful picture that God showed us, that Jesus showed us. Again, the God Almighty takes his disciples, and in those days, people walked in sandals on ground, so they had dirty feet. They're not nice and clean as ours today. That was dirty. So the servants in the house, that was their jobs to wash the feet of the people that came in, because they sat and their feet were like close to their plates. They didn't have nice tables like we do today. So Jesus said, I'm going to wash your feet. I'm doing the job of a servant to wash your feet. Guys, I asked people once, would you wash your friend's dirty feet? No. I don't know about you, but I don't really want to wash my friend's dirty feet. I love them and all, but it can be smelly, you know, and it can be really terrible to wash someone else's feet. And here Jesus comes. And men, I mean, these are fishermen, and they're like, he comes and he says, it's quite intimate, isn't it? I'm sitting down and I'm washing your feet. I'm sure he had to scrub a bit there. But he's serving the God Almighty, Jesus. He's serving them. He's serving the people around him. He's loving them. And then he goes on, because Peter says to him, no, Lord, you can't wash my feet. He realizes, no, Lord, you can't do this to me. But Jesus said, if I don't wash your feet, you have no part in me. And then he goes into the next scripture and he says, John 13, 12 to 15. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you also should do just as I have done to you. God says, Jesus says, go do it. I'm not just washing your feet so that it's an incredible picture of Jesus washing the disciples' feet, but it's saying, I want you to be the same to the world. I want you to be the same to each other, to wash each other's feet. Now, this gets a bit interesting, because how does that look like? How does it look like for me to wash someone's feet? It's a sign of us saying, Lord, it's not about me. It's so difficult for us to go into a friendship when it's all about me. Because we expect things and we want things of that person. But if it's all about me, then actually I'm going to get more hurt in a friendship. But when it's about God, things change. And I want to encourage you this morning to start looking at friendships differently. Yes, we're going to, you know, be there for each other, and we're going to talk and have coffee dates forever. It's good. We should do that. We should tell stories and we should laugh. You know, that like a nice stomach laugh where your stomach hurts because you're laughing so nice. We should do that. We should make jokes. You know, ask my flatmate. We have lots of jokes in our flat. You know, it's not a boring thing. In fact, it's exciting. We should do that, but we should also think, Lord, this friendship should bring you glory. And more than that, we should serve the other person. Now, here's a challenge. Your friends, start praying for your friends. Now you're telling me, yes, I've been praying for my friends. No, don't just pray for their needs. Pray for their calling. Pray for who they are. Ask God, Lord, who have you made this person to be? Who have you made Moses to be? Lord, I'm going to pray for Moses, but Father, I want to pray your will, your calling, who you've made him to be, into being. You know what? Because it's easy to serve someone from the outside, I think. I love you, I love you, I love you. You know, I give you a hug. I give you a chocolate even. I pick you up when I need to pick you up. You know, we can do all those things, but God looks at the heart. And when we come and we are in our inner room and we pray, that is where we can really love people. Now go and try it. Who of us can pray for someone else for their calling? For them to walk in what God has prepared for them to be. Now that I call real friendship. Where you are more excited about Pam than you are about yourself. Where when I pray for Pam, I said, Lord, thank you for this incredible woman. Thank you, Lord, that she will stand up. Father, thank you, Lord, she will walk in the ways that you've prepared for her. Lord, that all the days, Lord, there will be favor around her. Thank you, Lord, that she will never give up. Thank you, Lord, that, you know, you just go on. Sorry, I'm just like praying here over you. Pray like those things into being over people. That is really giving. That is really washing someone's feet, isn't it? I think that's loving in truth and indeed. I don't say stop loving people in the natural, like, you know, being there for them and saying, you know, actually I have a need now, but I'm going to listen to you. Many times we come to our friendships because someone needs to listen to me today. You know, isn't it? I need to speak. What about, okay, how are you doing? How are you doing? My friend taught me to speak. I didn't speak at all. I never told people how I was doing. She asked me, how are you doing? And I'm like, good. It doesn't help us. That's also a reason why there's friendship, so that we can get our hearts out there. But we also need to listen to what that person is saying. I love this quote from Dietrich Bonhoeffer. He says, human love is directed to the other person for his own sake. In other words, I'm having friends for me. But spiritual love, love that person for Christ's sake. In other words, I don't love you for me, I love you for God. And I want to see God's kingdom come in you. But this is exciting. Who of you know the story of Ruth in the Bible? Okay, let me start here. Naomi and her husband went to a different country. They were Jews. Came to the different country. They had two sons. The two sons married two daughters, the Moabites. So they were not Jews. In that time, the father died, Naomi's husband, and her two sons died. Okay, so now she has no family in this new country that she's in, or not country, area that she's in. She left her country because there was a drought, there was no food. So now she decides she's going back to her own country. As she decides to go back, her two daughters-in-law, they have no responsibility to her anymore. Isn't that right? Because they're not family. They're not her blood family. So on their way there back, the two of them go with her. And she says to them, no, you don't have to come with, you know, because I have nothing to give you. I'm a woman on my own. I don't have sons. Should I bear more sons? Then you have to wait more years to get another husband. No, I have nothing to give you. Okay, and they cry. They're like, oh, I can't leave you. That kind of thing. And one of the daughters, Orpah, I don't know how you say it in English. She says, okay, I love you. I'm going to go back to her family, to her land, to her country. But Ruth says, no, I'm coming with you. I'm coming with you, Naomi. I'm going to walk with you. And I sat and I was like, Lord, why? Why in the world would Ruth go with Naomi? Because she's not going to get anything out of it, is she? Naomi has nothing. She doesn't have anything to give her. Instead, actually, Ruth will have to look after her. So I was like, I think Ruth saw a need. She saw that Naomi needed her. She loved her, but she also saw that she actually needs me. She needs me in a way, and I can be that help for her. So she went with her, but she didn't just go with her. She said the following in Ruth 1, verse 16 to 17. But Ruth said, do not urge me to leave you or to return from following you. For where you go, I will go. And where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there will I be buried. May the Lord do so to me and more also, if anything but death parts me from you. Does that sound familiar? Many times that is what we say when we do our vows at a wedding. Yeah, Ruth is saying it to Naomi. She's saying, where you go, I'll go. Your God, remember, she's not a Jew. She says, your God will be my God. I want to serve your God. Your people, the Jews, will be my people. And she says, may the Lord do so to me and more also if anything but death parts me from you. In other words, she's making an oath. She's saying to her, I'm making an oath before God today. And I'm going to tell you today the word covenant. Whenever there's covenant, it's an oath that we make before God to stick to that person. And what breaks an oath? Death. Until death separates us. An oath is a serious thing that we make before God and we say, Lord, I'm making this covenant. That's why I love a marriage. It's a covenant before God and we say, you know what? Until death do us part. It's a thing before God. It's something that we do for God's glory. Ruth and Naomi. Ruth did everything for Naomi. She went with her to the other country. Guys, they didn't have food to eat, so she had to go to the land, the fields, and go and get the wheat or whatever it was, and gather all the extra parts. She had to work hard the whole day in the sun for Naomi so that they could be fed. Then Naomi said to her, Boaz, go and read the story. I'm not going to tell you the whole story now. This was Boaz's field. And she said to Ruth, go and lay at Boaz's feet. Now that is like asking a man to marry you. I'm sorry, who of us would do that? You know, girls, really. No. The man must do that. Okay, please, Lord, let the man do that, you know. But she even listened to her mom or mother-in-law and said, okay, you said I must go do it, so I'm going to do it. In other words, she denied herself completely. Do you agree? Completely. She said, this is not about me. I will work. I will go with you. Your people will be my people. I will go lay at a man's feet. I will marry this old man, because he was old, go read the word, for you. I'm denying myself. Ruth didn't get anything out of that. That's not how we live these days. I'm going to do something so that I can get something. I'm going to do something so that I can get something. Ruth denied herself completely. She loved Naomi. She saw a need. She was there for her. She denied herself. She washed the feet in a way. And she acted in truth and in deed. She didn't just say, I'll go with you. She did it. She worked in the field. She laid at Boaz's feet. I'm like, wow, Lord. Imagine, just quickly turn it around. Imagine someone does that for you. They're always there for you. They always support you. They always pray for you. When they see you, they are happy. They're like, oh, look, can you see you are here? I love you so much. Isn't it nice if someone acts like that when they see you? They phone you. They say, hey, I was just thinking about you. How are you doing? You know? They come and when they see you, they say like, what can I do for you? I can see you. You're busy. What are you doing this weekend? Can I look after your kids? And God says, turn it around. Do it to other people. Be that someone that would love friends like that. Quick testimony. So I started doing that to someone. It's the most incredible thing. In the beginning, you don't get much in return. People don't realize it at the beginning because we can be fake in our lives. But then you keep on doing it. And trust me, it's not easy. Because if you love and love and love and love and love and love, and there's nothing in return, you're like, okay, that's how we are. But God is calling us to keep on loving. And I've seen it, that person not only starts loving in return, like a biggie, like a little bit, testing the ground, loving in return, but realize it's something about Christ's love. Because if you, as a human, can keep on loving me, no matter the rejection, I'm crying, but anyways, I knew I was going to cry some other time. No matter the rejection, no matter if I don't give you love in return, but you keep on loving me, surely there must be a God who's much bigger than a human that would do the same for me. Isn't that powerful? God is calling us to love people, to be their friends, not just love people, because love is a funny word. We understand that friendship thing much better. To be a friend to someone, no matter what. Not for us, but it's that they can see God. And they can experience the love of a father. There's people that don't know love. They've never experienced it. Not in their houses, not in friendships, nowhere. God has given us something that we can understand his love, abide in his love, and then give it to people. That to me is magnificent. Like, Lord, I want to love people so that they can see you. In that sense, I don't want to look at myself. And you know what? God is faithful. If we ask for that, he will show you the people that you can start loving. And you don't have to love the whole world tomorrow. Like, who must I serve? Who must I die for? No. God will give you one person, maybe two persons, people. But he will show you, and I've seen people's lives change. And more than that, I've got an awesome friend. She's in Cape Town. She is a huge blessing. And in our friendship of praying together, sticking together, going through tough times, all of that, God has used this friendship for his glory. Ruth and Naomi. Do you know that Ruth's son was the granddad of David in the Bible? David is in the lineage of Jesus. Now, whoa, that's incredible. In other words, Ruth, that was a lady from another country, came to this. She wasn't even a Jew. But she denied herself, and Jesus said, you know what? Your lineage will be blessed. In fact, your lineage, from your lineage will come Jesus. So guys, we don't always see what's happening now in the natural when we love people. But I want to tell you, we leave a legacy. We leave for other people to see Jesus. I wonder if Naomi didn't deny herself and went to Naomi and just served Naomi, you know, she wouldn't have been in the lineage of Jesus. But Jesus came from that whole lineage. Do you know, understand me, Moses? Just making sure, because sometimes I don't understand the word lineage. So I'm going to tell you, God has made us friendships to glorify his name and to see his kingdom come in a powerful way. Just as marriage. Even as marriage, he said to me, start looking different at marriage. It's not just for me. It's not so that we can be happy and have lots of children. No. If we start to concentrate, say, Lord, how can this marriage bring you glory? How can this relationship bring you glory? Father, help us to do this. Whatever, wherever. Lord, it's not about us. It's about you. I'm going quickly. The last point. And I forgot about my notes. Before Jesus came to the earth, there was John the Baptist, isn't it? What did John the Baptist do? He prepared the way for Jesus. He was preaching. He said, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. In other words, Jesus is coming. You better get yourself right. Now, we're in a generation where Jesus is coming back again. And guess what? We're John the Baptist. We have to stand up and say, Jesus is coming. What has that to do with friendships? We have to be intentional about our friendships. It's not just a happy-go-lucky, now we're friends. It happens like that sometimes. I mean, I've got the weirdest friends. I don't know how we are friends. But there's a purpose, and God has a purpose in it. We are preparing the way for Jesus to return. In everything we do, in our kids, in our friendships, in our marriages, in our church, in everything. So we heard a few things today. God loves you. God loves you, and from that place you can love others. It's not about me. It's not about me. It's about giving. It's about blessing. It's about being a friend. We have so much love from the Father that people don't have, but God wants us to love those people. Okay, so in our friendships, we can pray for people. And you know what? If we start praying and sacrificing for people, we actually love them more without them even knowing it. I love people that I don't even have a relationship with because when I pray for them, I can see what God wants for them. But most of all, we should know today that God is in control and that he heals and he restores those broken places with his love. And he wants to start there. He's not expecting us to jump up and go be the best friend ever. He wants us to come to a place of receiving healing and restoration in those broken places. Okay, so I want us all to close our eyes. And if you're here this morning, and I'm talking a lot, and maybe a bit to mekaar, but what I want to say is that God loves you this morning. And he doesn't only love you, he has a plan for you, and he has a friendship for you, believe it or not. He has relationships for you. He wants you to be part of the body of Christ that comes together and that glorifies his name in everything. So this morning, if you're here and you're like, Lord, I'm so hurt, actually. I feel so rejected about things that's going on. Lord, Lord, yeah, I really want a friend that I can pray with. Father, so that I can learn that it's not about me, Lord, but it's about you. And God wants to come and he wants to heal today. And he wants to restore and he wants to give you hope. And he just want to tell you again that he loves you. If there's one thing that we take from this morning, then it's that we know that God loves us. And we seek that love. And we abide in that love. So, Father, I thank you, Lord, for every person here this morning. I thank you, Lord, that you are here, Father, and that, Father, you love us with an everlasting love that we cannot explain, that we cannot fathom. Lord, you are in control. Lord, you are magnificent. Lord, you are holy, Lord, and you're here this morning because you had an appointment with us, Lord. And Father, I pray for every person here this morning that feels rejected, that feels alone. Father, you say it's not from you, Lord. You didn't make us to be alone. You made us to have a relationship with you and to have a relationship with people. Father, I pray that you will come and heal today. I ask, Lord, for courage to forgive those that have hurt us, Lord. And I pray, Lord, for a boldness to love. Lord, so that we will be a people that love in truth and in deed, Lord. Denying ourselves, Lord, that's a hard thing, but you have done it, Lord. Teach us to also do it. To love people in truth and in deed.